visit among the Lord's people, and we are thankful for the opportunity to be here. We, as much as we've sung the songs with you and heard the prayers tonight, we feel like that we're among brethren. And I desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you, for we know that we need the Lord's blessing. We need His Spirit. We might be able to bring a lesson to you, but unless the Lord comes and blesses with the power of His Spirit, then it could be a dry and empty effort. I want to notice to begin with tonight, and as we begin to think about what's upon our heart this evening, over in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes a statement. I want to read verse 1 of this fourth chapter of Ephesians. And you pray for us that the Lord would give us liberty tonight. You know, sometimes we have a text on our mind, and sometimes we have a subject. And regardless, we need the Lord's deliverance. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Paul says here that he besought the brethren that they would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. Now, this is my first time here. And although I have heard of your pastor, heard some good things from your pastor. You know, I not having been here, then I don't know of the kinds of messages that he normally would bring, be practical or doctrinal. I trust that it's a good balance. But tonight, if the Lord would bless us for a little while, I want to deal with something very practical. And I hope that it's upon the foundation of the doctrines of grace. I hope that, and it'll come through that way. But you know, in the culture that we live in today, perhaps you see more of it in your locality than I do, in a small town in southern Georgia. Yet, if there's any difference, it would have to just be in the multitude of the kinds of things going on, but certainly whether we're in a large city or a small town, we're still confronted with the same kinds of hearts, the same kinds of immorality, the same kinds of problems of wherever we go. We need not think that just because we're in small town America, we don't have the same kinds of problems. When Paul wrote to the brethren at Ephesus and said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, God had called those brethren by His Spirit. They had been blessed to hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, and now they were being called upon to live in a different way than they had in the past. And I want to notice that tonight. But I'm going to leave Ephesians, at least unless I refer to it from time to time. But Paul makes this expression, he besought them to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. Now, Paul doesn't make use of that word called very much after that in that letter. But I want to go to 1 Peter. And if the Lord would bless us tonight, I want to notice how Peter uses this word five times in 1 Peter. Now, this is not going to be an exposition of the first epistle of Peter. There's a lot of good subjects that we're going to have to overlook, but I just want to notice, with this thought in mind, how that Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Even though the Spirit led Paul to say a great deal about how the brethren should walk when he was writing to the Ephesian brethren, yet we find that Peter, when he's writing to these strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, five times he points out something that God had called them to, or called them unto, or called them to be. And so if we could use that tonight as a basis for our remarks, I'd like to notice how this epistle, 1 Peter, deals with these kinds of things. Now, in chapter 1, the first of these I'd like to notice is in verse 15 of the first chapter. Peter says this, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, a lot of people, when you begin to speak about being holy, a lot of people just tune you out right there. And we're not talking about the kind of Pharisaical attitude of being holier than thou. But we're talking about the scriptural and admonition here to be holy. Now, in the Old Testament, there were things in the tabernacle that were considered holy because they were set apart to the use, to that certain use in service of God. They were set apart. They were only to be used in that way. Now, as we think about being holy, certainly we sung the hymn tonight, Holy, Holy, Holy. And as we would think about how that the Old Testament and the New Testament both proclaims God to be holy, holy, holy. You know, you remember back in the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the seraphim, as it describes them there, cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy. Have you ever noticed in that passage of Scripture just how it was that those seraphims cried one to another? You know, as we think about, we would quote that from time to time, and as we think about that experience, sometimes we need to put ourselves in the place of the person who's experiencing what's being described, that we might get some of the impact. It says, when those seraphim cried one to another, Holy, 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 they weren't whispering, brethren. They were not, because when they cried, the doorposts of the building shook. Now listen, a train can come by, and because of the sheer weight of that thing, it can cause this building to shake. But it takes tremendous noise before the noise itself would cause a building to shake. You know, a sonic boom that we used to hear a lot of, and maybe you hear some of them around here. I don't hear too much of them down in our part of the country anymore. But they literally would shake the earth and the buildings. That's the kind of noise we're talking about, that when those seraphim cried one to another, the noise itself shook the building as they proclaimed God to be holy, holy, holy. And we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of the holiness of God. We've lost sight of a lot of things that God is. You know, if we had a proper concept today of God, we wouldn't have to say that He's sovereign. We would understand that. If we had a proper concept of God, we wouldn't have to say He's holy. We would know that. Bless your hearts. Peter tells us that the Scripture says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Well, we got a problem, don't we? We're depraved. We're weak. We're mortal. But what he's telling us here, and it's a reference going back to the book of Leviticus, I believe in chapter 11, as he was giving Israel those dietary laws, and he was describing to them what was clean and what was unclean. And obviously, what was clean, they could eat. And what was not clean, they were not to eat at all. They were not to partake of it. Now, we don't live under those laws today. But wait a minute. The principle is still alive and well. What God says is clean, we should regard as clean. And what God says is unclean, we today ought to consider it to be unclean. If God says we're not to partake of something, now I'm not saying go back under the old dietary laws of the Jewish economy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in principle, what God's Word teaches us today, if He says not to partake of it, we are not to partake of it. And if He says this is something we should do, we should do it with all our might and with all our understanding. So we find that in principle, when God's Word says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," then we need to search out the things that God says are acceptable and pleasing unto Him, those things in which He delights, that we also might be partakers of those things. Bless your hearts, if we would be delighting more in the things in which God delights, He would take more delight in us today and be blessing us. See, to love God is to love His ways.
That's right.
Love His ways. Search out His ways. Be acquainted with His ways. And follow in those ways. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But what did He say? But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know, that conversation, that's more than just our words. You know, God's Word condemns those. Isaiah speaks of it. Jesus quotes Isaiah, talking about how that there was a people, that this people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart, He said, is far from me. So this conversation here, if we understand what the word means, it's our total conduct, not just our words. Many people say their words. Many people sound good from their words. But oh, bless your hearts. It's our heart that God looks upon. God doesn't rely upon the word. Sometimes that's all we've got to go on. But God looks right upon the heart. And He knows. Well, as a matter of fact, not only can He look upon the heart, but the psalmist says, "There's not a word in my tongue. But lo, Thou knowest it altogether." God is able to discern. And so it is that His Word says, "Be ye holy." We need to be dedicated. We need to understand His ways. We need to understand those things in which He delights. And we need to follow Him and be as best we can partakers of those things which He tells us we should partake of. And we should separate ourselves from those things which He says we should separate ourselves from. So I hope that we're not taken back by that admonition to be holy. If we understand what He's telling us, to be more like Him, to follow after Him and to be close to Him, that our heart might be like that of David, a man after God's own heart. Oh. So we think about the next admonition now. He's told us to be holy. As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, before we go on to the next, he says all manner of conversation. We understand the word itself teaches us that it's our total way of life and total conduct. But the word itself defines, or the scriptures define what that word would mean when he says in all manner of conversation. Not just the words, but the steps that we take. Not just the steps we take, but the way that we go in this life and how we treat one another. All manner of conversation. I remember a quote one time, and I struggle sometimes to remember the person that said it, but anyway, it's the thought was that we should preach the gospel everywhere we go. And if necessary, use words. In other words, our feet, our actions, our affections, how we treat each other, how we deal with one another, how we respond to adversity. Those kinds of things say an awful lot about what's in our heart, doesn't it? And in itself, Jesus says of our words that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's remember that in all manner of conversation. May it show forth the fact that we're dedicated to the Lord's service. In other words, holy. Be ye holy. Now in chapter 2, Peter again mentions that we're called. And you know, thinking back to what we read to you out of Ephesians, he tells us how that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. But he doesn't say an awful lot after that, using that word, as far as how it is that we're to walk. Now, there's an awful lot in the rest of that epistle that tells us how to walk. But Peter tells us some several aspects here about how that we're called to do something. So as we don't forget now, he's told us to be ye holy, for I am holy. Now in chapter 2, down around verse 9, it ought to be a familiar passage to old Baptists. He says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, we're all of that, aren't we? By God's grace. But then he adds something as to why God has gone to the trouble, why God has granted us the privilege and the blessing of being so. He says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why did he do that? That we might show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness. You see, just like other teachings in Scripture where Jesus said, no man, after he lighted a candle, put it under a bushel. We're not to hide the light that God's given us. We're to let it shine. We're to let others see it. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. To show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, what God does is good, isn't it? You know, circumstances in our lives change from time to time, but God is always good. Oh, bless your hearts, as we think about God and his goodness, as we think about his dealings with us, as we think about our own circumstances, we know that we go through seasons in life, we go through adversity, we meet with tribulations and problems and trials and all of these kinds of things. But brethren, listen, never, ever forget the fact that God is always good. No matter what our circumstances, he's good. No matter what our problems and heartaches, he is good. That's why we continually go to him. That's why we can call upon him no matter what our situation in life. He's always one that we can call upon. Always one that's worthy of our praise and our adoration. Even as Job, when all of these things apparently were taken away from him, what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He also said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's always good. So what does he say here? He's done all of this for us. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know the light that we've been blessed to see tonight? I'm not talking about what's coming from these lights in the building. Where Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren, where he says, but God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we're blessed tonight to know who Jesus is, if we're blessed tonight to know that though we're a sinner, yet Jesus came to this world to save sinners, if we're blessed to know him, Scripture says that's eternal life.
Amen.
That's marvelous light to me, to have that light, to have that understanding, to know these things. And so it is, that as he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, oh, then let us show forth his praises. Let us, as we've already said, wherever we go, may our words and our thoughts and our actions and our deeds and all of these kinds of things show forth praises unto him. You know, he didn't owe us a dime. He didn't owe us anything. You know, that's what's so amazing about the grace of God. He didn't have to save anybody, but he did. And when people struggle and argue and charge the Lord with being unrighteous and all these kinds of things, when you speak about the doctrine of election, I like to point out to people, God didn't have to save anybody. Oh, but bless your hearts, he did. And if you feel to be a sinner tonight, if you know in your heart that you've come short of his glory, then you didn't learn that, and you didn't have somebody teach you that from fleshly ways and means. Bless your hearts. God, by his Spirit, has taught you that in your heart. Now that is marvelous light. And we need to live like that's marvelous light. When we speak of these things, and by the way, we ought to be speaking to these things one to another, shouldn't we? Malachi speaks of those that spake often one to another these things, and a book of remembrance was written for them. Oh, it's praise unto our God when we speak of his goodness and mercy. It's praise and adoration to our God when we honor him and show forth his praises, because, bless your hearts, there's no worthiness in ourselves. It's all of him. It's all by his grace. And all, even the things he says that he works in us, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, I'm not telling you that everything that happens in this world that God ordained. I'm not talking about the acts of men. You know, God has chosen his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. But bless your hearts, as we think about how that God has worked these things, that verse in Romans chapter 8 where he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, how do we love him? Because he first loved us. He sent his Spirit into our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. But if he's done these things for us, then may God help us that our lives would show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he didn't just call us. He didn't just change us. He called us out of darkness. When we were blessed of the Lord, that he gave us his Spirit, you know, we weren't looking for him. He found us where we were. But he's called us out of darkness. He says, come ye out. And be ye separate, saith your God, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In other words, be holy. Put off those things, those unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship, Paul says to the Ephesian brethren. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Amen.
Rather reprove them. Point it out. Show the error of their ways. That takes some boldness, doesn't it? That takes some valor. That takes some courage And we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Bless your hearts, who loves you? God does. You know, John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation. But what he's saying is that Jesus gave Himself for our sins. He gave Himself. He didn't send somebody to do it. He came Himself. He did it Himself. He bore our sins in His own body to the tree. He did it. Oh, bless your hearts. As God has blessed us to taste that He's gracious, and as He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, may God help us then to show forth His praises. There's enough people in this world that's singing their own praises. There's enough people. You know, you hear somebody that's talking about how much they've done for the Lord. It doesn't take much of that, does it, to have enough. But I can listen to somebody talking about what the Lord's done for them all day long. Oh, God is so good. And what He's done for us is He's lifted us up out of the pit, as David says. Our feet out of the miry clay, set our feet, lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. Put a new song in our mouth, even what? Praise to our God. Oh, how we ought to be praising Him. You know, sometimes when we sing these hymns, especially when somebody calls out number 10, oh, how I love Jesus, I kind of listen real carefully and see how much love I hear coming forth. When we talk about loving Jesus, is it with a lot of fervor that we sing that song, or is it kind of dry and dull? Says a lot, doesn't it? When we're saying the words, oh, how I love Jesus, but it's not real convincing. We need to be careful, brethren, what we sing. Or how about how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Is that dry and dull? Is that tedious? Oh, bless your hearts. We need to be singing His praise. And it is not praise to Him when our heart is not in the words that we're singing that says, oh, how I love Jesus. We need to be careful. We need to be careful how we sing those hymns. There's beautiful words there, but we ourselves could be guilty of honoring Him with our lips, but our heart being far from Him. And that's serious business. That's serious. There was a time, there's several times in Scripture, but especially I'm thinking right now of Isaiah 1. Isaiah, the Lord said through Isaiah, away with your oblations. They're a weariness unto me. And I wonder sometimes what the Lord thinks of some of His people who mouth the words, but their hearts are far from Him. You could have been the first one here tonight. You could have sung every word in every song that was selected. You could hear every word that I say, and you could still go home and fail to worship the God of heaven. That can happen. I confess unto you in my shame, it has happened to me. Sometimes we sit on the pew and the person next to us may seem like they're just rejoicing and feasting upon that which is preached, and our heart may be dry and dull. Oh, how we need to be careful to show forth praise unto our God who is so worthy of it. Sometimes I think that's why God fixed eternity like He did. Because as somebody said, their definition that they liked of eternity is just long enough to praise God enough. That's what we're going to be doing in eternity. Well, let's get started now. When we sing these hymns of Zion, we're just practicing up. So bless your hearts. Let our lives, let our footsteps, and let our words and our heart show forth the praise of Him that has called us out of darkness. Oh, remember what He's delivered us from. Remember what He's called us from. And oh, may God help us to show forth His praise, because He's delivered us from darkness into His marvelous light. Over later on in this chapter, we find in verse 21, second chapter of 1 Peter, verse 21, he says, oh, let me back up here. Let's go back to verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Here's another way in which God has called us to follow in His steps. Remember earlier I said one of the ways that we love God is to love His ways.